Welcome back, everybody, to Generation Varied. This is the show where we talk about business, tech, healthcare, sports, technology, music, everything in between. My name is Caleb Norris, and I am the host of the show, and I'm joined by my two co-hosts here, Ben Okenge and Jack Widener. We've got our wonderful executive producer behind the scenes, Sophie St. Furman. Guys, how are we doing today?
As we're recording this, this is, like, to me, the official start of NBA playoffs. I'm a huge NBA playoff. I love NBA, and I don't really follow a particular team. I just follow the whole property, and so yeah, we're about a few games already kicked off, but excited to see if LeBron James will be able to defend. Not defend, but win another title. Because yeah, we love LeBron. He has four.
Yeah,
he needs a fifth one. But yeah, he's the oldest person in the NBA, and he's still playing like
the best.
Yeah, the best. So,
yeah, Jack and I actually stayed up very late, for me, very late last night, what I would consider to be very late, to watch the last NBA play-in tournament game, yep, which was Sacramento and
New Orleans
Pelicans, who ended up winning. New Orleans going to the playoffs. So very fun time. And just this whole day and weekend is awesome. Getting to hang out with you guys is a blast. You know, it feels like one of those days where it's like, you know, like when you're working, you always are taking steps to, like, advance,
mm-hmm,
whether you realize it or not.
Yeah.
Today is one of those days where it, like, really makes me realize, like, oh, like, some of these goals and dreams and, like, aspirations that we have, like, all these hours we're putting in aren't for nothing. Like, yeah, we're doing something, mm-hmm, and it's fun to feel that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think Jax was the first person that that I actually approached about wanting to do this, just because the couple of things that I know about Jack, like the way that I would describe you,
oh snap,
is somebody who is, at least in my experience, you were very much a cornerstone to the overall group that we had at Asbury. Somebody that was consistent, reliable, level-headed, somebody that didn't make rush decisions. Like, there are a lot of things that people can say about me. I can sometimes be very brash, make decisions very, very quickly. And I think that there are pros and cons to everything. But you were another person that was just very calculated, very consistent. You always led with kindness. You're always very understanding and very hardworking. And it was something that I just was like, I want that on the podcast. I want people to hear what you have to say. And you were also somebody that I had always, when we were having different conversations or when there was something that I didn't understand and you would speak up, it was like, it was just brilliant. And it was one of those things that I was like, I want more people to hear that. I want the world to hear what Jack has to say. And so I'm excited that we get this opportunity today to get to learn a little bit more about you. So I guess for first question, how do you think, and I know I just described you, but how do you think?
That's funny.
How do you think people, what are the characteristics, two or three characteristics that you would say are defining of you?
I'm loud. No, I would say calm is definitely one of those things. Calm. And I think life teaches you a lot of things, and I learned to be calm in terms of, like, what can I control, what can I not control. If it's something I can't control, I just gotta be calm and cool and collective. Like, I feel like I made out a lot of who I am in terms of, honestly, when things are very chaotic or something really out of pocket thing happens, those are the moments where I feel most in control, mm-hmm, because I am choosing to be calm in that moment. And Becca, my wife, and I, you know, when if we're on a drive, like driving, like there's car rages, like she always looked at me and I'm just there like, She's like, I'm sorry. You know, but all of that's just like she, I don't know. Like, that's one thing I know people will say about me. Another way I would describe myself is self-aware. And I would say, because I did a lot of work in terms of like, I need to understand myself more because I'm traveling so much and moving around. And to help myself understand the world better, I need to first understand myself in terms of like, if there's a conflict in that I'm experiencing internally, I need to pinpoint where that is from, you know, what's beneath all of that. So, but I, with that being said, I'm not always the most aware of what other people around me are feeling. You know, I can be aware of what I'm feeling, but that's one thing I know I need to be better about is knowing the people around me and what they're feeling. And I think the last thing I would describe myself as is genuine, in terms of like genuinely interested about what someone has to say, or when I'm meeting somebody or revisiting them, like I genuinely care where they are at in their life or in that moment. Like, what's on your mind? How's your mental health? Hey, I know that something happened. Like, I can relate, but I want to know how you feel. You know, I think there is something about like genuinely listening versus just listening. Like, there's the difference. And I feel like being genuine, being self-aware, being calm, like,
you know,
those things are kind of like what I try to be. And it, yeah, like that's what I guess. Yeah, when I think about people I look up to, like, those are the things that come to my mind.
Proof of your self-awareness is the fact that you brought in that listening piece. Because when people ask me, tell me about Jack, that would be always the number one first thing that I would say is like, that you are someone who knows how to truly listen. And like, there are some people who know how to fake listening. Like, there's some people who will be quiet while you're talking. That's not the same as listening. Like, one of the things, one of the skills that you have about your listening that I would say is so unique, and it's refreshing, and it's noticeable that like people can tell that something is different, is that like you ask the right questions. When you're listening to someone talk, you always know how to dig in deeper. And really get to the base of something. And that, like, when you and I have conversations, that's something that I always, like, I have to mentally prepare for. I'm like, Ben, like, if you're going to talk about something, be ready to really get to what you mean, because Jack's mm-hmm. going to dig. Like, you're going to end up, like, I appreciate that conversation with you gets deep even when it's not about something that is deep.
Yeah, I have a tendency to do that.
I'll say this. When we first started, so we started working on this podcast like July of last year. And I was literally, I felt like I was like trying to still convince everybody to like try and be a part of the fray. Yeah. And we had this meeting where it was just you and I, and you said, Caleb, why do you actually want to do this? I want you to get to like the heart of it. Like, why do you actually want to do this podcast? And why do you want to be a part of it? What are you trying to accomplish? And you pushed back on me like two or three times because I was giving you this answer, and you were like, I'm going to ask you again, like, what is it that you want to accomplish with this? And I don't remember what I said, but I remember I just like came right out and I was like, I want this to be a platform that has good conversations, that talks about deeper stuff, that also laughs and jokes a lot the same way that we did. And I think that the world needs hope. I think that the world needs to have good conversations. I think that we need to be able to do all this kind of stuff. And there was like this like almost like holy hush that happened. And I saw everything click for you in real time. And that's when you like sort of was like, I'm dedicated to this now, because I was able to dig further and ask the right questions. So I think that's a great point. You do ask really good questions, but you ask in a way that is, it doesn't feel like you're trying to expose or uncover something, it feels like you are a safe person who's trying to get to the root of whatever it is that we're there, so that that way you can affect it in a positive way. You know what I'm saying? So like you ask questions and you engage with people in what feels like a very safe way.
Well, thanks for saying that. That means a lot.
Yeah. Now that we're done gassing you up.
Yeah. Yeah. Keep going. Look.
Jack is the nice one on the podcast. We're the assholes.
What else? That's why we... What else? What else? What are y'all trying to say?
No, but in all seriousness, though, like when we bring up a lot of these attributes about you, one of the things that I like to think about is like where did this come from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like we've been friends for a long time, and I would consider you like one of my closest friends, and yet like I've never actually really met and spent time with a lot of people who are important in your life, like a lot of your family and that kind of thing. And so it just like is this mystery to me of like what shaped Jack. And so like I guess if you had to boil it down to just a couple main things, what would you say are like some of the most like formational, like maybe moments or people or yeah. places, like what makes Jack?
My mom is from Taiwan, my dad's from Iowa, and I grew up most of my life in Taiwan, 17 years.
For our listeners who might not be as familiar geographically, Taiwan is off the coast of China.
China and right below Japan. It's like a 4-hour flight to, you know, Tokyo.
Gotcha.
So it is 24 million people in like 13,000 square miles. Kentucky is 68,000 square miles and 3 to 4 million people. So yeah, that's just to help you understand, it's a tropical island. I loved growing up in Taiwan and living in there, and definitely is my favorite place in the world to the places I have traveled so far. But one of the things I would say to answer your question, Ben, is my parents worked at an orphanage in Taiwan, this place called Home of God's Love. And this is the place where a lot of kids who don't have parents, or they do have parents but can't like help them, like raise them, they come there. And like that has influenced a lot of who I am, because I feel like I have 2 siblings, but I have so much more, because I lived like with a tons of kids like older than me.
Can you share more about this? Is the first time that I've heard about this, about this being your experience. So this was like a boarding place for kids, or was this like a community center? Like share more.
It's just orphanage. Like, you know, they'll have like 20 babies, adopting babies, like from like kids all the way to high school, and everyone lived together. My mom was the auntie, like kind of took care of the kids. My dad was more of the fixing things, they've like, you know, repairing a lot of maintenance, that kind of stuff. But it's a community, you know. And you know, to this day I still call my dad Tim, and the reason is because when I grew up, like everybody around me called him Tim. So like this idea of dad, like not like he is my dad, but like even when I call him, hey dad, like I don't do that because that's not what I did. Yeah. I grew up with tons of brothers and sisters, and you know, I feel like a lot of times I realize a lot of people most of the time is just misunderstood, and especially people who come from dysfunctional family. And I feel like that has always put a place in my heart to be kind, because you never know what people are going through. And I feel like listening is one of the ways to help people feel seen. And I know there's so many people in my life that has shown me that, from a mentor and counselor in high school, Ryan Jacoby, to even my mom, you know, who listens to me, you know, to this day. So there's a lot of people in my life has shown me like the power of listening. And then when I went to Asbury, I came across this book. It was for a curriculum, and I forgot what it's called, but it's by Bonhoeffer. He's a German theologian, and during the time of World War II, and he was in the Holocaust, but he speaks to the idea of ministry of listening. And that just like really like, oh, I want to be somebody that lives that out. Ministry and listening. Because a lot of times we talk about like, you know, you can talk your talk, but you gotta walk your walk. But in listening is one of the things I think is missing.
Yeah.
And I think that to me is like, it's not so I can like, oh, look at me, I'm such a good listener. But like, no, like I genuinely want to know.
Yeah.
And I think that comes of just being curious. When you travel the world, you realize how small you are.
Yeah.
And there's so many stories from everybody that, you know, and it all just, if you ask the right questions, you'll realize like everybody's cool.
Yeah.
You know, nobody is like evil.
Trying to be.
Trying to be. Yeah. They're just misunderstood. Yeah. Or like, yeah, we're just come for some dysfunctional. So.
Yeah. Wow. You've said a lot of things that I feel like we could get deeper into, but like, I guess one of the big ones, like you talk about Dietrich Bonhoeffer. One of the things that he writes a lot about, not just listening, something that I know that means a lot to you is also community.
Yep.
I've heard you talk a lot about this, but like, how would you, and you tied listening and community together so nicely, mm-hmm. just even from like, your background and your story of growing up, like you have formed community through listening with so many different people throughout your life. I think here in America, this skill of listening is missing. Like, and I can say even for myself, I want to be better at listening because I know that a lot of people don't have someone who will listen to them. And like that is one of the crucial ways that you can build community. How would you say that like individualism in America has like, what is the role of listening and community? Like, do you see those two things as like opposites? The individualism that exists in America versus like being able to form community and the type of environment that you grew up in?
No, that's a great question. And I think for me, it comes to like the worldview for me, like I'm a Christian, like that's another layer in all of this. And I think a lot of times there's this idea like who is right, you know, who has the last say. And if you're the loudest, you're the most, yeah, like, that means you have the right answer, but that's not the case. So I feel like, living in a community, like collectivist culture, like there's this desire to be, you know, relationship oriented, you know, but you can't have a relationship if you're really, if you want, allow yourself to be listened to, like being transparent. It goes both ways. So, I don't know. That's a great question. I feel like I need to think more about that in terms of how listening could be different between individualistic cultures and collectivist culture. Yeah.
I think for me, one of the examples that I have of, there was somebody that was coming home with me for winter break, or I was giving them a ride to a family that was hosting them for winter break. It was an international student. And he was like from 100 miles south of Beijing or something like that. And I'm not going to dox him on here, but it was me and I was taking another freshman, and there was two freshmen that were in my car, and I had just finished finals. I bombed one of my important ones. I was like fed up, and I had my radio on, and we had listened to this song all the way through. We were like not even out of Wilmore yet. And one of the freshman people started changing the channel to pick a new song. And I was like, what are you doing? And they were like, oh, I thought we all like go around one by one. And I said, you never touch a black man's radio. Like, what are you thinking about? And it was like one of those things for me that I was like, I mean, yeah, I guess we could do that. And this was their first semester in America. And we stopped halfway in Cincinnati to get McDonald's. And when we were eating, we were eating in the McDonald's because I was like, y'all not about to eat in my car. You know what I'm saying? I don't like people eating my car. But so we're all in there. And this person says, in my village, we would take all of our fries and put them in one big pile. And we would all eat from that one big pile because some people are going to want more and some people are going to want less. And we would just all do that. And at the time, I said something like super rude in American. I was like, well, this is the US of A. And yeah, y'all not about to eat off my fries. And just like talking about, those are just examples of the collectivist versus the individualistic like mindset. And I realized that our culture, at least in America, at times is so flawed. And that we're so focused on just ourselves that we really miss the full picture of what it means to live in community with people.
Yeah, you can learn a lot about yourself when you're in a community. And I think just having the blessing of living in Taiwan, like for example, for food, like when you go to Cracker Barrel, when you order your dumplings, it's served in front of you. You know, but if you go to a restaurant, most of the restaurants in Taiwan, when you order, you know, your food, it sits in the middle of the table, and the table is like, this is base, it doesn't move, and then there's another thing that you can spin.
Yo, Americans call that a lazy Susan.
but
that's what it's called. I'm not there, joking.
So the thing,
I know what you're talking
no
about.
So like you get a small bowl, chopstick, spoon, a small plate, and a small glass. To me, like, when you see this combo, you know that food is about to be fire. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a community. Like, the way you eat, it's a community. It's always potluck after, you know, the church I went through. Like, everything is done together. And I think even in school, like, you're not necessarily trying to, like, you want to be the best, but you don't want to, like, shout to the world you're the best. Because you want to be doing your part of your role in the group.
Wow.
Because that is what is celebrated.
Wow.
Like that's, you're contributing into a group versus like, you know, who has the most points on the basketball team? Who has this, you know, the stats versus like, did I do my role on this team? So I feel like there's like a lot of mindset that's different. So when I came to US, there's a lot of things I had to shift about. I think there are great things about collectivist culture and both individualistic culture. So those both things are very important. But if you only focus on one, yeah, you can miss out on opportunity to learn about yourself. But most importantly, like ability to understand another person.
Yeah, no, definitely. I think, that's a really good, I'm chewing on everything that you just said. But so we know that you were born in Taiwan. You spent the first, how many?
17.
First 17 years. Oh, so when was your first time outside of Taiwan?
I came to U.S. to visit, you know, my dad's side of family, like, during the summer, but I did come to United States entering my fourth grade year to start learning English because I was mainly speaking Mandarin my whole life up to then. And I came to this place called Osceola, Iowa for 3 years. I was in the ESL program with all the Hispanic students. I read the Boxcar Children series, you know, if you guys know what that is. You know, played my first football, you know, Little League baseball. So I had experience living in a small town in America, you know, town square, homecoming, 4th of July, like carnival.
That's dope.
State fair.
Bro, me and my siblings just learned English from watching That's So Raven.
Like, I'm dead serious.
Yeah, that's funny.
But no, yeah, I so that's like my only experience. So after 3 years living in Iowa, we moved back to Taiwan, but when I went back, we continued to stick with English education. So like homeschool, and then eventually freshman of my high school, my brother and I, we went to the international school in Taichung, Morrison Academy. And that's when I feel like a lot of things are starting to click for me in terms of like, I mean, Ben, I don't know about you, but international school can be crazy in terms of like who goes there. You know, there's that missionary kid, staff kid, but there's the other flip side, embassy kids, business, CEO kids. Like, you know, at our school, they would hide, not hide, but like, I would say they intentionally put these staff's vehicles on the basement because you're getting Porsche, you're getting Audi, you're getting all these nice cars dropping their kids off. The socioeconomic difference is crazy. You're talking really? About, you're talking about people who go to Paris for the weekend. You're talking about people who go to Japan to ski during, you know, Christmas break. Like, things for me, I was never exposed to. Like, the level of wealth is just in, like, whoa, like powerful people, powerful kids. And you know, that's the point of my life when I realized, oh, I didn't grow up with a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
I like, totally I did not grow up with a lot. But it's definitely my best favorite experience, though, just going to American school. Because we're just kids, you know. We play League of Legends. We play sports. Like, these are things. We love the same thing. It's just, we just have a different background.
Yeah, no, it's so interesting you mentioned that. I was thinking about having grown up in other countries where you see such a big gap in like socioeconomic situations, all living and like not just living with each other, like interacting with each other, yeah. You know? Like I've been to an international school where like some kids are there like fully on scholarship that they went to a local school and like won some scholarship that afforded them the chance to go to a British international school, right? And that same school, you could have like, you know, CEO kid who like got dropped off in like, you know, a Range Rover. And it's like, you're driving a Range Rover in Africa? Like, that's different. Like, that's not like, you know. Here in America, we have, you know, there it does exist a wealth gap, but just the abundance of stuff. Yeah. There's no other way to say it than just say stuff that is in America. It really like clouds your mind. I went to Topgolf yesterday with my wife Abigail, and when we were driving away from there, I was realizing just like, just the abundance of what exists in America that doesn't exist in other countries.
Yeah.
And like the wealth and freedom and that kind of thing that exists here that is so unique that people don't realize. Like, yeah, there are nice things to do in, you know, tons of other countries. It's not to say like, oh, America is so much more developed than these other countries, but it's like there are not a lot of places in the world where if you want to have a good time, you can just go and like high-tech golf balls that are being tracked and you just swing it. And it's like, we can do that at the drop of a hat if we want to. What was the like culture shock of going from a place like Taiwan where it's not necessarily like, it's not poor, it's not underdeveloped. It is a developed nation.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have the same abundance of stuff as America.
I would say it's not more so stuff. I would say it's opportunity. I worked at a seafood buffet restaurant during high school, during the summer. Like 8 hours. I bike 18K a day between, wow, from my house to the restaurant because the orphanage is...
Hey, how many miles is that?
That's what Caleb said.
I jumped in for the Americans. Like, no, 18 kilometers is like 12 miles, I think. I don't know.
But anyways, I would bike to the restaurant, work 4 hours. I would bike to a gym, and bike back and work, and then bike to play soccer at LA middle school, and then bike home. So very active, obviously, in my high school days. And I don't know, it's funny because even just when I say it, I always remember like birds chasing me, you know, crows, you know, certain parts of the, if you bike a lot, you know what I'm talking about, you know. But I think just during that time, for the amount of hours I was working, and I realized how hard it is to make money. And then when I went to the school, Morrison, I realized how much money people had. I'm like, I always feel like sell myself short. I don't know how to get there. Until I've been exposed to different people, like I started looking up to, like, oh, like there is a way. It's like working hard, and you know, just making the right decisions. And that idea is like, oh, I could do it, and starting putting myself out there, being uncomfortable. But only when I came to the United States, I feel I experienced that at another level, because the opportunity here. Truly, like you said, like while there's a lot of stuff, but there's no other opportunity like what it offers here in the United States. And for me, that was one, if I want to go to a join a club, I can do that easily. But then also, like during the summer, I was working with this internship, you know, it's kind of like an entrepreneurial boot camp almost. Mm-hmm. Like the idea, like, you know, when you work hourly wages, if you work harder than the person next to you, but you're still getting paid the same amount.
Yeah.
You know, but I don't know. I feel like that's when I realized, oh, like, it is very different. But also, in general, if you go down to Walmart, you go to the deodorant section or toothpaste, like, the amount of choices that you can have is endless. I mean, just so many. Like, so many different type of choices. You're just overwhelmed. So, to me, like, that's like, oh, like, this is America. Or even, like, the McDonald's menus here, different. And a medium drink in the United States is a large drink in Taiwan.
And the quality of food is different, too. This is, we have our own issues over here with that. Thought that came into my mind was, it's interesting how your experience at the boarding school or the international school, and seeing the disparity of like, wait a second, I worked really, really hard for not a lot of money, and these people have so much and they're not working as hard as I was. I think that's what, would you say that that's what gives you the perspective that you have, that any opportunity that is offered to you, you want to jump at it and say yes? Because I know from my, and not that you jump at every opportunity, but from my experiences with you, you've done some really cool stuff. You've gotten to work at the Olympics before. You've gotten to do just some amazing things. You traveled with us to a couple of different conferences, and anytime that something came up, you wanted to take the opportunity. So would you tie that back to your experience there?
I would say for a while, it's all out of insecurity. Because when you grow up with scarcity, you want to make sure your future does not have that.
Yeah.
So, and that is a huge drive for me. Like, how do I make sure I never experience that feeling again? I know a lot of people have that, know what that feeling is like. And for me, it's, if I want to go see somebody or something happens to my parents, I don't want money to be the thing that keeps me from doing that. And I feel like just, I have, again, like leaving people and not having ability to do anything about it because the resources weren't there really crushed me. And I know like how, while money isn't the answer to anything, it can alleviate a lot of things. So I feel like for a while I was working out of insecurities, like saying yes to everything. But I had to come to a point to realize that it cannot be my idol. You know, and it took me a while to get there. But for a while, yeah, like I was not only just saying yes, but like what decision in the experience is going to make me stand out? Because at the end of the day, you have 4 years to separate yourself from other people in college. And that's the thing. Like it feels like a whole new, like a new game. Like everyone's at level one.
Yeah.
You know, while there's people have different resources or, you know, even just having a card, like, that's an advantage, you know? And to me, it was just like, how can I take advantage of my time at school?
Yeah.
Being involved in a leadership program, working hard in my department, meeting people, and like you said, like, going to different conferences and whatnot. So I feel like for a while, it's all out of insecurity that I'm never enough.
Yeah.
I want to be enough. Yeah.
I think one thing we share, I think, that in common, because I always say this, I didn't know I was poor until I got around people that had money. And then you realize, oh wait, other folk ain't struggling like
that. Dude, I had that exact experience going to Asbury. I would remember, like,
you go to people's dorm room.
For you guys who don't understand, so Asbury is a private institution that is incredibly expensive.
Why?
For undergraduate studies, it is shockingly expensive. And I was there. I had a lot of scholarships to go there. That school helped me out financially as much as they possibly could. And I was paying a fraction of my tuition, okay? And even still, I had to borrow loans from my parents. And that was, you know, a stretch. It's not like my parents have a abundance, right? And I had to get government loans. And I had to fight for more scholarships. I had to plant trees and, you know, make all this money all summer. I remember there was a time, there was a day where I was sitting in the bistro having a conversation with some people.
What's the bistro?
The bistro is, the bistro is like this, it's like Panera, the great value Panera, which is like a good campus hangout spot at Asbury.
Yeah. Wow. If you didn't hear that, he's shout out the bistro couple. And that is
only for the true Asbury.
Jail.
If you know about the bistro couple,
jail, Caleb. Wow. Jail.
Jail. Anyway, no. I was having a conversation and I realized, like, whoa, you guys can actually afford to go here? Like, that was a genuine thought that crossed my mind. I realized, and I still think that now, like, I'm in grad school. Grad school's expensive, guys. And, like, I can't afford it. But I'm like, I'm sitting around with some people who's like, yeah, you know, my parents decided they want me to pay half my rent now. And I look at them, I'm like, wait, what? And then they tell me that their parents are paying their tuition. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Like, we aren't playing on a level playing field. Like, some people can genuinely afford college.
Yeah.
And, like, out of their own pocket. It was a shock to me, that realization.
People always ask, like, how did you get the job that you have right now, like, right out of college? And I was like, I don't think y'all understand this. I was so broke and was so had so few resources that I initially wasn't planning on going to college. I ended up getting, I mean, when it was all said and done, like 75% of everything that I, like, going to Asbury was, like, covered by scholarships. But even that 25% was, like, essentially a full state's, tuition. So, like, it was so much. And I remember that realization when somebody said, yeah, like, my parents are only going to pay, like, 80% of, like, my tuition this year. So I'm going to have to take out loans. And I remember thinking, like, your parents have 16 grand to drop on your tuition this semester? Like, how? Like, you guys live in like a regular house like we do. Like, what?
I think, you know, going to college helped me. Going to Morrison Academy helped me realize it can do two things to you. Like, oh, make you even more self-pity, or a motivating thing. And I feel like that's how I reacted to it. But one thing that really, really shaped the rest of my life is when I did this internship with Southwestern Advantage. Basically, their goal was just to teach people strong characteristic and reaching their goal. During that process, I learned the power of, you know, just one small decision. You are, you know, your habits. You are the decision you make. You are what you pay attention to. And those little things really do add up. And I feel like that is, you know, something I take to heart to this day. Like, it doesn't matter what your background is. At the end of the day, it comes down to your decisions. That's just from my experience. I know there's a lot of different factors into that. And I also know I'm in privilege to be able to speak two languages and living overseas and have the ability to come to America. Because I know so many people would want that in my place, you know. But even then, like, it still doesn't take away those moments like, oof, I don't got a lot.
Yeah. So Jack, as we go to wrap this episode up, I talked about my Mount Rushmore of people that were super impactful. We talked about the places. What are the experiences? Maybe 3 or 4 experiences in your life, or scenarios or groups that you were a part of, whatever that looks like, that really shaped you to be who you are today.
Number one is definitely selling books during the summer through my college. We went out to another state and sold books door to door, educational resources, you know, long hours, talking to 30 families a day and 12 weeks straight. And I did that for 3 different summers. So that the people who I met through that program are my best friends today, because we experienced things hard together. Another experience that really has made a huge impact in my life is a little bit more recent. In 2021, I had a chance to go to Tokyo for the Olympic Games and Olympic and Paralympic Games. And for 9 weeks there, I was just exposed to so many different type of people, like working in a department that's people my age from 24 different countries, like, and just forming those friendships. Like, to me, it was like, wow, like the power of sports, which is why I'm still in sports marketing today and will continue to do that, is because I realize how powerful sports can bring people together. So I feel like selling books was a huge one. Going to Olympic Games and Paralympic Games was a huge one. And the third experience that has a huge impact on me, I mean, definitely going to Asbury. That was just pivotal in terms of also my own faith. And a lot of times, Asbury was the first time I met a lot more people from different backgrounds. Yes, I did go to more international school, but even then, there's so many people I haven't met, like people from African-American backgrounds, people from Africa or Hispanic countries. Like, I've never been exposed to people from those backgrounds before. So when I went to Asbury, like, it even pushed me a little bit more to, like, how do I connect with these people who are really, like, different in terms, even just the way we see time. I'm very rigid of my time for the longest time. People saw me as timid, but no, it's like my schedule is everything. But the flip side is, like, you know, the way they see time is more of a social thing, like how you connect. And even to when you eat, eating is more of a task for me versus a social thing where you sit down and talk. So I feel like Asbury helps inform me more about the world, but also, like, made a lot of great friendship from there. The school and the friends I made challenged me in the way I think. It gave me a lot of confidence as well, in terms of school was never my confidence anchor, but Asbury has helped me allow that to become one now because of stuff that happens outside the classrooms in terms of the panel discussion. I mean, during our college in 4 years, a lot of things were happening around the world. COVID-19, the 2020 election. I mean, there's so many things that happened within those years. We, as young people, were challenged. We had to face these things, like George Floyd, like Black Lives Matter, like so many things. Oh, how do I understand the world now? Especially when I know people who are directly impacted by that. Because a lot of times you have the ability to just look the other way. But when you know people super close, you have to look at it together, being very supportive. And to me, I feel like being at Asbury and being around great people has challenged me to just like I said, be more calm, be more like a listener, and just being genuine with everybody I meet. Yeah.
Great. Wow. Jack, I feel like it's been such a blessing for us to get to know you a little bit better. And listeners, I hope you all feel the same way. If you have like more questions, more thoughts that you'd like to hear unpacked by Jack or any of us, don't hesitate to shoot them out. Just like Jack is such a great listener, we appreciate you all being such great listeners.
Facts.
Thanks for tuning in week after week. We really appreciate this community that we're getting to build with you. We really couldn't do this without you. So once again, thanks for joining us on Generation Varied. Go follow us on social media platforms at Generation Varied. Shoot us a DM or an email at generationvaried@gmail.com with any topics that you'd like to hear us discuss. We hope this episode brightened your day, and we look forward to having more conversations with you later.